We're really grateful to Lindsay and Eunice and the girls for leading us in the first part of our service this morning. It's a great help to us. If it's all right, before we get into our Bibles, can we just take a moment to pray for the folks who have gone through to the other halls? Heavenly Father, in the quietness of these moments, as we bow our hearts and our heads before you, may we pray particularly for the leaders and the young people and the children who have gone into other rooms. We pray that you would brood over their time together. We ask for the leaders that they would be given a patience and a wisdom and a clarity in the way that they share the scriptures with the young folks, so that they might have an understanding and a grasp of the truths concerning your plan and purpose for their lives, your will for their lives, your provision for their lives, and your goodness in their lives. We pray that you will keep them all safe from danger to body or soul. And for ourselves, we would pray a light blessing, for we recognize that without you in our lives, we are without God and without hope in the world. So we thank you for the grace by which you have touched our lives in days gone past, and pray that we might know your continued presence and help in our day-to-day living as we seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we offer our prayers. Amen. If you would like to follow the Bible reading, it's in Psalm 46. Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their raging. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In some ways, it's quite reassuring that the psalmist makes reference to trouble, because that tends to be our experience day and daily, that life does not always go smoothly and that there are times of trouble even for the believer. One of the friends of Job who came to comfort him in some ways wasn't much of a comfort when he said, "Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards." It's kind of inevitable. One of the great things is that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a great high priest who was tempted or tested in all points like as we are, yet he was without sin. But having become like one of us, we find that he is referred to as a man of sorrows and acquainted or familiar with suffering. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And because of his personal experience, he is a great high priest who can succor us when we are tempted. And he has every right to speak in forthright terms when he says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." He also said in that same passage in John 16, "The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You may have peace. Let that sink in for a moment. In this country, we have the propensity to talk about the weather more readily than anything else. And Storm Brian doesn't seem to have come to very much. But earlier on, we had the tail end of the Hurricane Ophelia. And yet, we do not know the extremes that other parts of the world experience. These hurricanes that go through the Caribbean area, or the earthquake which has hit Mexico in recent days. Let me read, don't worry about turning them up, but let me read a few verses from Mark's Gospel concerning the weather, if you like. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." That was the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Do you like that? The creator of the world, asleep on a cushion. He was worn out. Just that lovely human touch. He has experienced what we experience in our humanity. And here is the creator, sleeping on a cushion. And what's perhaps more remarkable about it is there's a fantastic squall or a storm going on. You can just imagine the boat bobbing up and down and tossing and turning with the waves, and he is sleeping on a cushion. He's got a clear conscience. Wonderful. The disciples woke him and said to him, and you can imagine them maybe shaking him, "Teacher, do you not care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. That's wonderful in itself, because the storms in Galilee, when they die down, the waters are still choppy. But the Lord Jesus focuses his attention on both elements. First of all, there's the wind, which he rebukes. And then he speaks to the sea, the waters, and tells him, it's just like speaking to a dog, "Get down." And it was completely calm. He has power over the elements. And in our psalm reading, it talks about the elements. Let me read the words again. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their raging." On account of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be confident in the face of calamity. But this brings a responsibility with it. "Praise be," writes Paul, "praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we may comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Back to our Psalm 46, verse 4. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. It refers there to the streams which make glad the city of God. We cannot really be certain what the psalmist had in mind when he wrote this. One possibility is that in the days of Hezekiah the king, when they were facing oppression from outside enemies, we read that it was Hezekiah who blocked the upper outlet of the Gihon spring and channeled the water down to the west side of the city of David. Now that might seem like a bit of useless information, but apparently it was important because that meant that the city of Jerusalem, if it was surrounded by enemies and shut up, that they could not get out to the springs of water, they still had a ready supply of fresh water. Now, maybe I'm making too big a jump here, but when we go over to the book of Revelation, we find these words. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, down the middle of the great street of the city. Let me read a few verses again from the New Testament. Don't worry about looking them up if you're happy just to listen. You remember the account where the Lord Jesus sat by the well in Samaria and he had an encounter with a lady there who had come to draw water. Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Coming back to the picture in the days of Hezekiah when Jerusalem was surrounded by enemies and they still had that source of water, the enemies came and spoke and shouted up to the men guarding the ramparts. This is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. "On what are you basing this confidence of yours? Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.'" Let me read some of that with you, please, just so that you get something of the full picture, hopefully.